Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, good morning, Canvas Church. How many of you guys excited to be here today? Come on, you should be because it's a weekend and rather going away, you decided I want to stay home for church. Come on, give yourself a hand for that, right? Come on, so glad you're all the young people are heading out to their class. Like all those young people going, you saw it on the screens. We have our camp coming up. Want to keep just that in front of you. Keep plugging that. You might not have any young people at home that are of those ages to go to camp, but maybe you have some finances to send them to camp. I would encourage you to do that because some of the parents here have three kids to send to camp. Right? And that adds up very quickly. And so we as a community want to pitch in and be a part of that. That's the great thing about being a part of a biblical community. It's not just about our kids, it's about our kids. Are you with me? And so we're going to do our best to make sure every kid gets to go and make sure parents don't go broke in the process. Amen. And so, that's exciting. But man, glad you're here today. Right after this service, encourage you to stay. Some of you know about this already, but we're having baby dedications at the end of this service. And so some of you are a part of their small group. Maybe family came today. And so I'm going to do my best to either finish early or on time. Come on, we prayed for miracles today. Let's pray for another one right now. Colossians chapter 3. We're in an incredible series in our church entitled It's All About Jesus. And we've been looking in the book of Colossians. And here's what's happening in Colossians. Paul is writing to the believers at Colossae, and he's encouraging them how they should live in the world that they're in, how they can live a godly life in the culture that they're living in. And so as he writes this to them, he tells them this. He keeps bringing the focus back to Jesus. And he says, hey, guys, we need to focus on the sufficiency, the supremacy, and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so as you begin to focus on that, then you'll be able to live your life, a God-pleasing life in the culture you are living in, all right? And so we've been going through it, taking a section at a time. Today, we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. And it reads in verse 12, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Reading from the New Living Translation. Look at that. Isn't that powerful, that verse right there? Because God chose you and he loves you, here's how you ought to clothe yourself. If you missed last week, you can go back and check the podcast out. But we talked about how in God, we are taking off the old nature and we're putting on a brand new nature. And so last week, we talked about some things that needed to come off. Now here, Paul is saying, here's what needs to go on you. You need these things to go on you. Verse 13. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive everyone who offends you. I want you to highlight that verse. If you have a digital Bible, just kind of drag your finger across so you can highlight it. If you have a paper Bible, feel free to get your pen out and highlight it as well. Or if you don't have either, at least just highlight it in your mind. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. So he talks about, hey, you need to put this on. Now here's something you need to do. Here's how you need to walk this out. We're going to come back to that. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Well, what just happened right there? Here's what happened. He said, hey guys, put this on, and here's what I want you to do with that on. I want you to forgive other people their faults. Give yourself an allowance for that. Give them allowance and forgive them. Oh, you have a hard time doing that? Remember that Christ forgave you. That's what he's doing there. Who's he talking to? Believers. What do we catch there? We're catching this. We're catching this theme that Paul is addressing something taking place, and he realizes it's not easy for them to give an allowance for other people's faults. And so he quickly says, hey guys, if this is difficult for you, just remember what Christ did for you. Verse 14, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. What's taking place here? Paul already talked about what we're supposed to clothe ourselves, but then he jumps into how this is lived out in giving allowance for other people's faults and quickly realizes that, you know what? This is gonna be hard to do unless we put on the greatest piece of clothing, love, right? You gotta walk in love, which binds us all together in perfect, what? Harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. What did verse 15 tell us? Well, the love brings harmony, and this peace comes from where? It comes from when Christ rules our hearts, which is telling me a couple of things. One, that they probably wouldn't let Christ rule their hearts, right? And so he has to remind them. But you know what? We need to be reminded of that today. If we want to walk in this love that gives allowance for other people's faults so that we can quickly forgive those that offend us, if we want to do that, we need to make sure that Christ is ruling our hearts. Yeah. Right? It's not going to happen unless he does. So let Christ rule your heart. Verse 16. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. What is he doing here? Now he's beginning to tell us, you don't know how Christ can rule your heart? Well, let me tell you how Christ can rule your heart. Go back to the message. Go back to the Bible. Go back to the gospel. Go back to the good news. And as you get into the good news, the message about Christ, your heart will be opened up. Then Christ can rule you so that you can walk in love, so that you can give allowance for other people's fault. Are you with me this morning? Okay. So we gotta let the message in all its richness fill your lives. And then what are we gonna do with it? Teach, counsel each other with all wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms. La! That was me singing a psalm. Here's me singing a hymn. La. Right, you see the difference there? La. Psalms, hymns. La. Okay, now he was talking to the church corporately, so we got to sing psalms. La, la. You guys are getting it. Now we got to do hymns. La. All right, good, good, good. And spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Focus on Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. I want to talk to you in the next few moments about making allowance. God, we thank you so much for your word. God, I pray that in the next few moments that we have together, that Lord, you just speak to us out of this passage, that God, we would grasp hold of the message of making allowance for other people, so that as we walk out of here, we could continue to create environments where people could encounter you, know your love, and live the incredible plan that you have for their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. I grew up in a particular time, and maybe you can relate to this, where we didn't get what was called an allowance. Anybody grow up in that time where you didn't get an allowance? If you were a part of the family, you did what you needed to do to be a part of that family, right? Like dishes, get money? No, do the dishes, I fed you. Come on, are you with me? Right? Like I grew up in that family. Like I loved what I grew up in because like we sat at the table together and had meals together. And like I had three brothers, mom and dad, so all six of us would sit there. Like probably six out of the seven nights, we would come to the table, dinner would be ready. And one thing I learned is you don't ask what's for dinner. I remember that day when I asked what's for dinner. I never asked what's for dinner again. Because I remember I said, hey, what's for dinner? My dad looked at me and said, what? What do you mean what's for dinner? What's for dinner is whatever's at the table when you get there. I just want to know, it don't matter what's for dinner. You're going to be sitting at that table and you're going to eat whatever's put in front of you. Yes, sir. Right? That's the era I grew up in, right? I think some of that needs to come back, right, to the family, yeah? And we'd go and we would sit there, and it wasn't like scarf down the food while you're watching TV, right? It was like we sat. There was no TV anywhere near the table. Sit at the table, eat your food, and we had family conversations, but some of the greatest moments ever coming out of those family conversations. It was like a 45-minute deal. And when you're done, you didn't just get up and leave. When you're done, you looked at dad and said, may I be excused? If dad wasn't there for some reason, you looked at mom and said, may I be excused, right? And if they said you may be excused, then you're excused. If they said no, you'd sit there and have a longer conversation, right? And here's the thing. If they said yes, you may be excused, that doesn't mean you go off and do your own thing. That means you get up and you start clearing the table. You're starting with your plate, then dad's plate, then mom's plate, and then whatever brother you like best, right? And you just start clearing plates. Your day to do dishes, you go do dishes. There was none of this, hey, if you do these chores, I will give you this, right? It was like, I gave you a home and I put clothes on your back, I put food in your belly, go do it or die. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you, this is just so foreign. Like anybody that's in here right now that's of the ages of 16 or younger is like, what is he talking about? Like, oh my gosh. Like I could not survive in that, right? And so I didn't know anything about allowance. You were a part of the family, you did. But as I started having kids, they're coming home talking about, hey, my friend's getting an allowance. And I'm saying, like, what? An allowance, what is that? Well, we do stuff and you pay us. And I'm like, I pay you. I put a roof over your head. And they're like, what are you talking about, Dad? And so we started an allowance in our family, right? And so we got creative with it. We created this little chart, and on one side it had all the chores they could do, and they could pick a chore and then move it over to their name if they did it, right? So mop the floor. Okay, I mopped, boom. I cleaned my room, boom. You know, whatever it is, right? They did these chores, and at the end of the week, they would all be worth a dollar amount. We'd add it up, and that we would give them that amount for the chores, all right? Well, pretty soon, 25 cents for mopping the floor wasn't enough. Are you with me? Right? They're like, are you kidding me, 25 cents? I'm like, oh my gosh, the fact that I'm giving you anything, right? But we'd add it up at the end of the week and we'd give them an allowance. Now here's the thing that kids don't understand. They don't realize where that money comes from, sure. Right? They think they work, money should just come, right? But here's what I know as a dad. I know as a dad that if they're gonna do that, I have to create an allowance for them so that when they do this, I can give them the allowance that they earned. Are you with me? So they did this, and because now I have a line item budget and it has allowance in there and it has $50 a month or whatever for allowance, that is set aside. So now when they do, if they do, which became very seldom, but if they do, I love you children. If they do, then I have an allowance set aside to give them. Are you tracking the thought? Paul says, I want you church, I want you believers to make an allowance for other people's faults, and I want you to forgive them when they offend you. I want you to understand something, church. It's against your nature, and so you need to set something aside. You need to put something over here on reserve, so when this happens, you can pay them the allowance that you set aside, which is you forgiving them their faults and their offenses. I need you to do this, church, because here's the reality. The reality is people are going to offend you, people are going to hurt you, people are going to abuse you. And so if you hear what I'm saying right now, you're gonna be prepared for that. I need you to have an allowance ready. Make a provision for. Here's the definition of allowance. It's the amount of something that is permitted, especially within a set of regulations or a specified purpose. A share or a portion allotted or granted. So like, just like we had to have this line item, okay, if they do it, here it is. If they don't, we're going on a shopping spree, right? Here it is. It's the same thing. Paul is saying, hey, you need to set it aside so that when it does happen, you're ready for it. You're ready to forgive people. In other words, people are going to offend you, let you down, wrong you, abuse you, mistreat you, hurt you. They're flawed. And as believers, we need to make an allowance. We need to be prepared knowing it's gonna happen, and then we need to forgive them. We need to forgive them. The original text is the word, it's more like the word forbear. And the word forbear means to put up with. You put up with one another. Bear with, endure, forbear. I like this one, suffer. Suffer. Right. Here's the modern definition. You're gonna love this. Here's the modern definition of forbear. Politely or patiently restrain an impulse to do something. So what is it saying there? See, Paul knew this. Paul understood this. Because when someone offends you or does something against you, it is not your natural instinct to be like, it's okay. That's not our natural instinct as humanity. Like, right? Like when you're driving down the freeway and someone speeds up to cut you off, your natural instinct is not to pump the brakes and let them go in front of you. Can we be real in church today? You are not like, oh, go ahead, God bless you. No, your natural instinct is to step on that gas and speed up so they can't cut you off. You're like, you wanna play pole position? We're on. Right? You're not going to let them cut you off. And if they do cut you off, it's not like, oh, I lost. It's like, you. Some things I can't say in church, right? That's our natural instinct. And so Paul is saying, hey, guys, when these things happen, I want you to refrain from what is natural. I want you to just kind of hold yourself back, all right? Don't do that. But we're honest. If we lived by our impulses, life would be incredibly amazing, but really ugly, right? Like, it would be like a roller coaster. So no, don't do that. Don't live by your, you need to refrain from doing what you naturally want to do, right? And you need to set something aside. You need to have an allowance for, and obviously the first thing that would come to mind, but yeah, Ben, but at some point, don't we have a breaking point? Like, I mean, come on, like, how many times do I have to allow for this? How many times do I have to forgive somebody of their offense towards me? I'm glad you asked, because Jesus actually addresses this. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 22. Peter's having a conversation with Jesus. And then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Question mark. And then he says this, seven times. And I can just imagine Peter, because Peter was like the dude that always put his foot in his mouth, right? Yeah. I can just imagine Peter. Peter's like, hey, Jesus, how many times do we need to forgive somebody? Seven times? I got it. I got this down. I can do seven, right? Jesus, listen to Jesus' response. Jesus looks at him. Jesus says in verse 22, no, not seven times. And I can just think of Peter at that moment, right? No, not seven. Seems like, yeah, exactly. I went way over the top. It's probably like three times, but I got seven. And he's just waiting. And Jesus says, no, sorry, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. What? Can you just see Peter being super like self-righteous at the moment, seven times? Oh, no, not seven. You're right. It's probably, what? 490 times? Are you kidding me? But was Jesus really talking about a number here? Did he really mean 490 times? Let's be honest, who's keeping track? Right? I mean, do you have a clipboard? Like, hey, that day, you only have 489 left, buddy. Don't cross the line. You better not lose that sheet. Are you with me? It's like, oh man, where were we? We'll start over. 490, okay. Was he really talking about? No, he wasn't talking about an amount. Yeah. See, what he did here is he used language that they understood at that time that makes no sense to us. Yeah. Peter says seven, and Jesus says, no, 70 times seven. The number seven is the number for perfection in the Bible, but the number 70 is actually the number for perfection as well. Let me read it to you, because that way you'll get the full context. I said, what was Jesus saying? What he's really saying is it's an unmeasurable amount of time. And he uses language he can understand. 70 has a sacred meaning in the Bible that is made up of the factors of two perfect numbers, 7 representing perfection and 10 representing completeness and God's law. As such, it symbolizes perfect spiritual order carried out with all power. It can also represent a period of judgment. 70 elders were appointed by Moses. He's the guy in the Old Testament. Great story. Numbers 11 through 16, chapter 11, verse 16. By Moses, after reading the covenant God gave him to read to the people. Moses then took 70 elders along with Aaron and his sons up Mount Sinai to have a special meal with God himself, Exodus 24, 9 through 11. Ancient Israel spent a total number of 70 years in captivity in Babylon, Jeremiah 29, 10. 70 is also specially connected with Jerusalem. The city kept 70 years of Sabbaths while Judah was in Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah 25, 11. 77s, that's 490 years, were determined upon Jerusalem for it to be complete its transgression, to make an end for sins and for everlasting righteousness to enter into it, Daniel 9, 24. So when he said 70 times 7, I know there's a lot of information, when he said 70 times 7, he was saying, hey, look, you need to continue to forgive them a perfect amount of times. You need to continue to, this number meant something. It wasn't like, oh, 490. It was like, no, you need to just, it's unmeasurable. How powerful is the thought of forgiveness in Scripture? How powerful is the thought of living free from offense? And so how do I make an allowance? I want to make an allowance. How do I do that? Paul gives us some insight here. Number one, we see in verse 13. How do I make an allowance? Number one, remember Jesus forgave you. Hey guys, I want you to make an allowance for other people's faults. I want you to forgive anyone who offends you. Problem with that? Next verse, or next part of the verse. Okay, just remember that Christ Jesus forgave you. Oh, that kind of puts things into context, doesn't it? That's right. I'm probably worse than they are. And Christ forgave me, Ephesians 4:32. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. What is he saying? When you think about what Christ did for you, it pales in comparison to this moment where you need to forgive somebody else. Because Jesus ain't asking you to die for that person. Jesus died for you. And so because Jesus, do you remember that? Yeah. Cross, nails, blood, Jesus. Can you forgive somebody else? Okay. Right? How do we make an allowance? We need to remember what Christ did. There's times when I'm working with my kids in the allowance spectrum. I don't want to do that. It's almost like the allowance isn't enough anymore. Right? Like, oh gosh, I got to do that right now. I'm like, yeah. Why? Why? And you know what I'll do? Here's what I'll do. I'll tell them things that I'm doing for them that I don't really want to do. What am I doing? I know how you feel. I do. Because the clothes you're wearing, I bought them. I know. The food you just ate off that dirty plate that you don't want to wash, I bought that food. And I will make you throw it up right now. Right? I'm just kidding. Right? What do I do? Here's the thing. You've got to understand the cross. And if you miss this, you miss the whole thing, really. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. He had an argument with God in the garden. Hey, are you sure this is a good plan? Can we choose Peter? He's mouthy. Because I mean, if this is the way it has to be, okay, but I really don't want to do it. See, if you look for the cross, you realize, man, that's the ultimate sacrifice. Right? So if you have a hard time forgiving somebody else, hey, remember, Jesus forgave you. Number two, verse 14, he jumps right to it. He says, oh, you want to make an allowance? You got to walk in love. You got to walk in love. Like, walk in it. Right? But here's the thing. We got to understand the type of love he's talking about. Because I think too oftentimes to us, love is a feeling and it's an emotion. Some songs about that I almost broke into, but I won't. Did you just say good? Said, do it. Oh, you said do it. I thought Jeff, who leads our worship, was like, good. And I'm like, what? Do it, that wasn't very loving. I'm making an allowance for him right now. It's real time, people. It's happening right now. Walk in love. Here's the thing. The word love in scripture, there's like several different words used to describe a different type of love. It's like here and today, we just love everything. I love that burger. I love my mom. It's like, whoa, right? Like, but see, they had different words used. And you know, so one word would mean, you know, like there's words in scripture that talk about sexual type of love. There's words in scripture that talk about brotherly type of love. And there's the word used in scripture that talks about a friendship type of love. This word here is none of those. This word here, when he says you've got to walk in love, it's the word agape. And this is the type of love that has no condition to it. Agape love involves faithfulness, commitment, and an act of the will. So when he says, hey, guys, I want you to give an allowance for people's faults. Here's how you got to walk in love. You got to walk in commitment. You got to walk in faithfulness. And you got to, are you hearing this? You've got to walk in this type of of love, it's an act of your will. It's not just like it comes natural. It's not like the body of Christ and the community called the church. It's not like we just all we just love hanging out with each other. No, it's talking about, hey, it's an act of your will. Sometimes you don't want to hang out with them. This isn't like the friendship type. I mean, with your friends, it's like you look forward to hanging out with your friends, right? It's like if it was like, oh my gosh, I gotta hang out with them today. Well, that's an obligation, not a friendship, right? But here's what it's saying. Hey, this kind of love I need you to have is the kind of love that doesn't have conditions. It's not if they perform. It's not if they serve. It's not if they do. It's not if they treat you right. It's not even if you like. You don't have to like everybody in your church. Matter of fact, some of you are like, I don't know everybody in my church. I know, because you don't like people. But you have to agape. You have to learn to be together as an act of your will. See, a lot of people don't do this, and they don't get this because the entirety of the gospel is not preached. And so we base things more on feelings and emotions, I'll get to in a minute. But what happens is because well, I don't like that those people there, and so I'm leaving. Well, you don't have to like them. You just have to agape them. Well, what do you mean? It means that sometimes you just have to, out of a sheer act of your will, you have to say, you know what, we're doing this thing together because it's not about me, it's not about them, it's about Jesus Christ. And if we understand that he's the one building the church, not us, we understand that he brings us together, he puts us in the church, he puts us where we're supposed to belong, and then we need to learn to agape. This is a good message. Why are you laughing? It is. It's allowance, it's okay, allowance. Walk in love. You know, again, the closest thing I can think about is a relationship that parents have with their children. Because my daughters don't have to do anything to win my love and my affection. I love them. And sometimes, if we're real as parents, it's a sheer act of your will. Sometimes I just don't want to love them. And you won't know this until one day when you have kids, if you don't have kids yet. Like, what? Some of you have a little baby right now. We're doing baby daycare. So like, what do you mean? I don't love them. Trust me. They hit around 12, between that 12 to 18. Man, if you have grandparents and you can send them to 12 to 18 and get them back. I love you, child. Only one child's in there right now. But I don't love them because they perform. I love them because God entrusted me with them. And if God entrusted me with them, then you know what? Even in those moments I don't feel like loving, I'm going to love. See, God does that. He entrusts the building of his church to us as a community. And he does that. And so sometimes we need to step back and say, you know what? Man, God entrusted us with this place called Canvas. Man, sometimes I don't feel like loving that person, but I just need to agape. That's good. Got to walk in love. Romans 12, 18, if possible, on your part, live at peace with everyone. Why? Because here's the thing. The outflow of love is, when you walk in love, harmony is peace. Isn't that the goal? Yeah. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Right? So when we love one another and we walk in this agape, the product of that is peace. Hebrews 12, 14 says, pursue peace with everyone. How are you going to do that? Walk in love. Number three, we're going to wrap it up here. Band, go ahead and come up because that makes me go faster and gets me done quicker. And we're going to dedicate babies. And I'm believing for a miracle. So, number three, how are you going to walk in love? Well, the only way you're going to do that is you're going to have to allow Christ to rule your heart. Verse 15, allow Christ to rule your heart. In other words, God uses Paul to communicate this message and says, look, I want them to create an allowance for people. The only way they're gonna be able to do that though is as they walk in love. But let's be honest, that message of walking in love is really great, but really hard to live out, right? Like it's not the easiest thing to do. And God knew that, so he sent Jesus. And so if we allow Christ now to rule our heart, it becomes easier. Are you with me this morning? I mentioned this in the first service. I don't remember what decade or era it was, but I remember there was a time in my life where they came out with these WWJD bracelets. Anybody remember those? What would Jordan do? No, just kidding. That was from my basketball days, right? what would Jesus do? And it kind of seemed like it took off for a moment. It was like, oh, that's cheesy. It's not cheesy. Honestly, that's the way we ought to live our life, is to have our hearts ruled by Christ. What would Jesus do in this scenario? Because the alternative to that is you living by your feelings and you living by your impulses and you living by your emotions. And if you live by your feelings, your impulses, and your emotions, then I'm telling you, life is gonna be a train wreck. When you hear, here's the product of you living by your feelings, debt. Here's the product of you living by your feelings, divorce. Because they offended me and they cheated on me and they did this and they did that. Make an allowance. Make an allowance. Let Christ rule your heart. Listen to me. We have so many incredible stories here at Canvas Church of marriages that everybody would have written off, that everybody did write off. We have so many incredible stories of how God took these marriages that people had written off. And when you looked at the story, you would have written it off. But because they didn't live by impulse, because they didn't live by emotion, because in that moment they surrendered everything to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they allowed their heart to be ruled by Christ Jesus. Come on, there's some of the greatest marriages today in our church, and they're helping other marriages, and they're helping other families. We can't live by impulse. We can't live by emotion. We need to allow Christ to rule our hearts. Listen, the Bible says our heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. We got to surrender it and allow Christ to rule our heart. Then we can walk in love. How do we do this? Verse 16, he says, number four, focus on the gospel. Focus on the gospel. Focus on the good news about Jesus Christ. Focus on the Bible. You see, when I look at the church sometimes, I wonder how we can so easily give allowance for the people that aren't Christ followers, that aren't in the church. And we just so easily give them an allowance. But you know, when it's people in the church, there seems to be no allowance for their faults and for their offenses. Yet Paul here is specifically writing to the believers. It's not a letter that the outside world was in on. It was the believers. He's saying, believers, the people sitting around you right now, you're the person you're married to, the people in your family, the people in your small group, the people in this theater, give them an allowance. There's going to be some faults and there's going to be some offenses, but you got to walk in forgiveness. And I think part of the problem is we don't preach the entirety of the gospel. We preach good messages that get us hype, and we preach good messages that, oh man, I want that, and that's so great. But we don't like hearing, hey, the person sitting next to you is gonna tick you off sometime. You've gotta make sure that you have an allowance set up so that when they do, you can walk in forgiveness, you can walk in grace, and you can forgive them of their faults. Is somebody with me this morning? And listen to me, the only way that you can do that, the only way you can get to that place of love, that place of, man, I'm gonna do, is as you focus on the message of Jesus Christ. Because when you focus on the message of Jesus Christ, you realize that there is a creator in heaven who sent his only son, Jesus, for you because of your wickedness and because of your sin and because of the stuff that is inside of you, the grossness in you. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that you, whoever would believe in him, would have eternal life, everlasting life. And all of a sudden, when you begin to focus on the gospel, the Bible says that as we look at this, it's like beholding in a mirror. What are we looking at? We're seeing the goodness of God and we're seeing the wickedness of our heart, but yet we're so thankful and so grateful that he sent Jesus to remove the wickedness from me. And if I look at that and I realize how much he forgave me, it is so easy to forgive all of those who have offended me. Are you with me this morning? We got to focus on the message, the good news about Jesus Christ. God, we thank you so much for your word today. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. God, we thank you that your word gives life, it gives purpose to us, it gives meaning. I pray that today, because of the book of Colossians, that we could walk out of here with some things to wrestle through. But I also pray that we'd walk out of here giving a greater allowance to people for their faults and for their offenses, and that we would walk in love, focusing on the message and the person of Jesus Christ. In your mighty name we pray, Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming to Canvas Church today. In about 5 minutes, we're going to be doing baby dedications. And so I would like everybody that is going to be dedicating to make their way up here. And if you want to be a part of that, let's fill the front row. And I'd love to invite you. If you want to check it out, what is a baby dedication? And I would love for you to stay. Check it out. God bless you. Have an amazing Memorial weekend.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.